I guess you're just hearing this for the first time, but what are your immediate thoughts on that?
I guess their first sympathy for the people who are losing jobs, and I guess you would say approval of the fact that the university is trying to get its house in order, because whatever else we've seen, it's that people were not operating within the parameters that they had agreed to operate within and that the university had committed itself to upholding. And so if those people whom you named are among them, then obviously the logical step is to remove them.
Did you know any of the people involved? Did you know Jamie Lee or Tim McMillan or Jan Boxall?
The only one I know is Jan Boxall, for whom I have high regard. I think she cares a lot. Not that the others don't, but I know from interviewing her several times, she cares a lot about the student athletes. She felt very strongly that some of the student athletes were brought into the university and not given an adequate opportunity to advance to a degree, that they were brought in already academically over their heads, and that there were not sufficient support systems in place to help them achieve. And I think, as we saw in some of the discussions that went through the Weinstein report, people in different positions reacted different ways to that. And one of them was what apparently Jan Boxall did, which was to try and help people maybe more than was appropriate. I saw an interview with someone who was a colleague of hers at another university who said that they had discussed at some length, Jan Boxall, what do you do when you feel like you're within a system that is not ethical? Is it appropriate for you to act unethically and or not consistent with the ethics of the system in which you find yourself? Of course, the simple answer is you remove yourself from that system. But I guess there are times when people feel that they can, like all of us in different ways, when we're going too fast through the 55 zone, that we can fudge and everything will still be okay. But when you're dealing with the reputation of a superior university and with the lives of a lot of people, it's difficult to say you can take those risks or cut those corners and be ethical and true to what you have subscribed to.
What do you think of the reforms that have been put in place by UNC since this came to light? Do you think that they're adequate to address these issues?
I haven't really seen all of them listed in one place, so I couldn't tell you. I think obviously paying closer attention to independent study classes and who's grading papers and assigning courses is a step forward that was shocking to not be in place already. So all of those things that kind of clean up the loose ends are good starts. But, you know, as we have discussed before and CHL has given a lot of people airtime about, there's a larger system here that is impinging on the ability of the University of North Carolina to offer young people who want to play athletics a quality public education and compete at the highest levels within intercollegiate athletics. It's not UNC's fault, but if it's going to subscribe to the system, then it keeps having to make choices. There was a New York Times front page story today quoting a tweet from the starting quarterback for Ohio State saying, and I'm paraphrasing, "Why do I have to go to class? I'm here to play football. I'm not here to play academics." And the more we go in that direction, and we're going, the more pressure it puts on the institutions that participate to make sure that they're still adhering to certain standards. I hope that the new rules will do that, but they're not going to change the pressure to win. They're not going to change the pressure to have more revenue, to have more demands on athletes' time, unless the university takes additional steps.
Yeah, and some of the problems, obviously, they don't start as soon as athletes walk through the university doors. It's a big question, but how do we begin to address that?
Well, I remember when Jim Grove was at Wake Forest and starting to have success, and they gave him academic exceptions every year, but the understanding was those players had to graduate on time, and they had to comport themselves well, and they had to take credible courses. And as long as they did that, then the university was willing to make exceptions. Of course, private universities have more leeway to fudge because nobody can really track them from outside. But I believed him, and I think Wake is another high-level academic institution. So you have to look at who you're letting in. You have to look at, if I'm putting this young person into this environment, do they have a reasonable expectation that they will not only be able to compete academically, but feel like they're part of the group, the university, the student body? Because one of the other things that's going on here is that we keep separating the athletes from the rest of the student body. They live off campus quickly. They go to the Academic Excellence Center where they work out. They have meals. They get tutored. They hang out. They have team meetings. They do weight training. So how much are they part of the university? And all those things need to be looked at, and we don't just say, well, everybody else does it, and we want to compete, so we have to do it. Somebody suggested to me I need to speak with one of the UNC professors who specializes in game theory to see if, in fact, you know, the idea that I have to keep up with the Florida States and the Ohio States is really true for the University of North Carolina.
And finally, how accountable do you think coaching staffs need to be for the findings of the Weinstein Report?
Well, coaching staff have an interestingly ambiguous role in all this, because on the one hand, coaches, I don't know if it's true at UNC, but it's true in many places, get bonuses if they have a certain graduation rate among the student athletes that are part of their team. If you're going to be rewarded for the student's performance, then you sure as heck better be on top of what they're doing. And frankly, I've talked to some coaches who just don't believe that UNC coaches didn't know what was going on. I'm talking about people who are their competitors, but also their contemporaries. They just do not believe that UNC coaches did not know. So should you know? Probably. But there are a lot of things like that in life where I think we would prefer not to know certain things because either we don't want to believe it, or it's inconvenient, or it's difficult to get to the bottom of it, and we have other things that we'd rather do. So I think that if the university would set a standard, which would be different than a lot of places, and say, okay, here's our standard, you are responsible. You do need to know. If we have all these tutors, you know, but you also, at the same time, can't go meddle with the academic side. You know, when NC State went on probation under Jim Valvano, the academic side pushed off the athletic side and said, we don't want you talking to our professors. We don't want any calls from the basketball office. So how do you work out those tensions in a way that's structured, has some more responsibility built in, and ultimately has more accountability?